Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here today. In Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grains and goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.' Then he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? I tell you then, if then you who are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The title of the message today is Unsecure Security. May God add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. W.A. Criswell pastored the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas for more than 40 years. One time a visiting preacher was sitting with Dr. Criswell on the stage, and he asked him this question: "What do you think about as you look over your congregation that you've pastored these many years?" Well, the visiting preacher thought Dr. Criswell might say, you know, tell him, think about the people that have come to Christ through his ministry at First Baptist Dallas. Or he might say, talk about the generations of people that have been coming and serving and growing in the Lord and the families. And that's what he assumed he'd say, something like that. What Dr. Criswell did say amazed him. Dr. Criswell said, "I see materialism like a serpent rearing its ugly head at me." Wow. Bill O'Brien was an international missionary, and then he was an official with the International Mission Board. He's retired. I think he's even since died. But one time he wrote, "Materialism is the new religion of the West, is the cancer eating the heart out of the church." Materialism can be an addiction. The more we have, the more we want. Romans used to say, money is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. That is materialism. And we have to guard against materialism, lest it kill our desire for eternal things that really matter. That really matter. The man in the parable we read about this morning spent his whole life trying to achieve stuff, trying to achieve a certain financial security for himself. And he came to the point where he thought that he had made it. He could harvest this last bumper crop, build bigger barns, and then he could take life easy. He could relax, he could eat, drink, and be merry. He would store it all in the new and bigger barns that he was going to build. And finally, after all these years of hard work and accumulation, he would finally have enough. Reminds me of what someone asked John Rockefeller one time. How many more millions do you need? And he said, just one more. And I think that's the attitude of this man. How much more do you need? Well, he finally thought, I've got everything I need. This bumper crop, I'm just going to build barns, and I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to relax after all these years of hard work. I'm going to take life easy. But he failed to make one vital consideration. The vital consideration that he had continually left out of his life. He failed to consider God's claims upon his life. He failed to consider God's claims upon his stuff, upon his things. He said, I'll take life easy for many years. But God said, tonight, your life will be required of you. Tonight. You see, he thought he was ready to finally enjoy life. But God said to him, fool. This night, your life will be required of you. And who's going to get the stuff that you've prepared for yourself? This man tried to achieve security instead of receiving security by a right relationship with God, by living for God. He failed to recognize that all the things that he had been entrusted with, he did not really own them. They were not really his. He was merely a manager, a steward of those things. He was not the owner, and so God called this man a fool. The passage of Scripture teaches us an eternal truth about our own lives and our own stuff. Security comes only in a right relationship with God as we recognize ourselves as mere managers of the stuff that He entrusts to us. Materialism is what most people strive after. They want more and more and more and more stuff. It promises us great things, but it delivers little. And in fact, if we're focused on things and stuff and money, it robs us of the abundant life that God wants each of us to have. It robs us, I think, in at least four ways that we can see from this passage of Scripture. First of all, materialism robs us of the joy of the now. The rich man in this passage is a driven man. Now notice he's already rich. I mean, his wealth was not just recently acquired. It identifies himself in verse 16, the land of a rich man. It wasn't that he was impoverished. It wasn't that he had a windfall. He was already a rich man. And it pictures him as a driven rich man. He's driven by the desire to provide security for himself, maybe for his family. We don't really read about his family here. But he thinks he can provide security for himself through the accumulation of material things. And finally, after many years of hard work and struggle, he says, I have made it. He felt secure. Even though he wasn't really secure, he feels like he made him. He tells himself, I'm going to relax. I'm going to finally eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to buy that RV. I'm going to retire. I'm going to enjoy life. Finally, after all these years of hard work. You know, I think maybe he was a driven man. I can see him when his kids were little and maybe they wanted him to read him a book. And he says, you know, Daddy's busy. He's got stuff to do. I can see him, you know, working overtime and being away from his family and never going to his children's events in school. I can see this man working 70, 80, 90 hours a week. You know people like that, and I do too. I hope maybe you're one of them. And there's nothing wrong with work. Work is good. The Bible, God gives us work. Something would be wrong without work, but your work should not be your life. And the accumulation of stuff should not be your life. The man was postponing investing in relationships and his children and his wife and doing the things that God had called them to do and putting the things of God first. And he said, I'll get it later. I'll enjoy it later. He was looking to the stuff to provide his security. And finally, when he thinks he has enough, what's happened? He's run out of time. Jason Lehman was a 14-year-old boy when he published this poem. He says, it was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm day and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, but I never got what I wanted. You see, I think God wants us to have an abundant life right now. Jesus said the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He's stealing your life from you. The life that God wants to give you. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. God wants you to have a full life today. He wants you to invest in relationship and enjoy the blessing He has given you and find your security in Him. In Him. He doesn't want you to always be looking back with regret because you're looking for security or looking forward to something that might happen out there. He wants you to find your security in Him. You all know people. We all know people that said, I'm going to do so many things when I retire. But they get to retirement age and they've dropped dead. We know people that I'm going to do it when I retire, but when they get to retirement age, their health, they can't do anything because their health is so bad. God wants you to enjoy life today. He wants you to have a full life today. And He promises you, if you will seek first His kingdom, everything else will be added to you. You see, materialism robs us of the joy of now by promising future rest that's never going to come. There's something else about materialism. Materialism robs us of the joy of helping others. This man came to Jesus and he called out to him. He said, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. And Jesus would not be brought into that fight. Anybody ever try to get you involved in their personal fights? You know, sometimes we're kind of, stoked by that. You know, we're kind of, it's nice to be, think we're wise people and can help other people out. Don't bite the hook. Don't get in the middle of something that's not your own business. Jesus said, man, who made me an arbiter or a judge? Jesus would not be caught in that trap. And then he told the parable of the fool. He said to this man, take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness. Materialism for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I think the NIV translates, even when one has an abundance, it doesn't consist of his possessions. And he told the story of this man. And look at this man. He is totally self-absorbed. He had this bumper crop. This rich man had this bumper crop. And look what he says. What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. In those verses, I think there are 12 personal pronouns in those few verses. He was wrapped up in himself. He could not see anyone else. He was already rich, but this windfall crop that he had excited him, not in how it could help anybody else, only in how it was going to bless him. He didn't consider thanking God for this rich crop. He didn't consider helping others because he had been blessed. He was robbed of the joy of helping others. You know, there's something that happens in our minds and hearts and lives even when we help others. It happens in people who are not even Christians. Somehow they know when they help others, something happens. There's some kind of sense of joy and release in that. Because helping others, we're meant to help others. We're meant not to live in our own universe for our own selves. We're meant to be involved in the lives of others and to help them. And materialism robs us of that joy. You know, people would sometimes tell me, in Iowa, I had one guy in particular, he would say, if he won the lottery, he would give a lot of money to the church. He'd always tell me that. Well, I think I told him, why don't you just give the church the $2 and we'll both be ahead. You know, he wasn't going to win the lottery. I don't think he ever did. He might have won a few things. You know, some people do. I'll give when I got more. No, he would. Nobody would. You see, if you're not faithful with what you have right now, you're not going to be faithful if God would give you an abundance. You know, the truth is, the studies they've done find that people on the lower socioeconomic end of things usually are more generous than people who are not. Maybe it's because they know they know what it's like to be in need sometimes. I don't know. But see, we need to be, materialism will rob us of that joy. John Wesley would say, make all you can and give all you can. As a student at Oxford, Wesley's income was, I think, 28 pounds, and he would give away 2 pounds. But his income kept rising through the years, but when he made 120 pounds per year, he still lived on 28 pounds and gave the rest away. Robert Arthington reportedly gave away $25 million to Christian missions, and he said this, he would gladly make the floor's bed and a box's chair rather than men should perish for want of the knowledge of Christ. Wow. That's a driven person, isn't it? Driven in the right direction. And he knew that helping others was why God placed him on this earth, to love God and to help others. You see, what's a better investment than helping others and helping them to know Christ? What is a better investment than that? You see, that's placing your treasures in heaven. You see, do you know the joy of helping others? Do we know the joy of giving? Do we give to those who can't give back to us so that God can reward us? Now, Jesus says some difficult things here. One of the things he says in verse 33, I think it's misunderstood, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Now, Jesus didn't say in this passage, and he doesn't say to everybody, sell all your possessions. Now, there are some. Well, he'll ask for everything, and he'll ask you to do things. You know, I've had friends, God calls them to missions, and they sell everything they have, and they go to the ends of the earth. I've seen it happen. But he says to all of us, sell your possessions. Have you ever had to sell your possessions to help somebody else? To maybe give so the kingdom of God would be advanced? to give them the need. You see, you don't misunderstand this, but what he's saying is our possessions are less important than people. Than people. People are more important than our possessions. You know, my kids, I told you, you know, they ran this marathon. And they became kind of hardcore fundraisers. You know, I mean, it was like every day they would be putting something. They were running, and one of the reasons they run was for World Vision. And if World Vision has this thing, they build wells in different places. And if you give $50, basically they say they can provide clean water to a child for life. Wow. Pretty impressive. And so my kids, they ran this marathon, and every day they'd be saying, give to help us to raise money. We're running this marathon to raise money to help people provide children with clean water for life. You know, they raised $30,000. That's a lot of money. What? Not just our kids. I mean, not just my kids. I mean, there were other people in my son's church and people that he knew. But this World Vision team that they were a part of raised $30,000. You know, I kind of look at him and I said, well, you know, he's pastor of a little church and they need a lot of help. Why don't you raise $30,000 to help your church? They can pay you more. And, you know, a dad kind of looking at it selfishly, really. They raised it to help others. You see, there's a joy in helping others and sacrificing to help others. You know, most of us have never sold anything to give to the kingdom of God and to help somebody else. When we were in Kansas, we bought a building. It was our first building, the church that I pastored. And so I didn't like having any debt, so I challenged the people to plan for 6 months to give to this offering we were doing and asked them, how could you give more? And I sold the shotgun, which that's not that big a deal because I'm not that big of a hunter. But I did sell my senior ring, which was kind of important to me. I probably shouldn't have sold it for as cheaply as I sold it, but I did because I was trying to set an example. I was trying I wanted to give. I wanted to get this debt wiped out so that we could use the money that God gives us to do ministry and not just pay for stuff. I haven't done anything like that since, but the question I have to ask myself is, would I be willing to sell some of my stuff if other people are in need? If it's going to advance the kingdom of God? You see, I think materialism creeps into us in a lot of ways, and we have to guard against it because people are more important than stuff. There's another way materialism robs us. It not only robs us of the joy of the now, and it not only robs us of the joy of helping others, but it robs us of preparing for eternity. When I was pastor in Kansas, I would share the gospel with an older man. And he was an old farmer, and he had a couple of grandsons, and he just worked all the time. And I would share the gospel with him. I'd invite him to church. And one day he says, man, I can't go to church. I owe $70,000. I'm $70,000 in debt. I don't have time to go to church. That's what he told me. He was 70 years old. And he wasn't in that great a health. And I wondered, how long will he live? I don't think he's going to pay off that $70,000 debt before he dies. But has he prepared? Has he asked Jesus and received Jesus so that the debt he owed to God because of his sin could be paid for so that he could enter eternal life? He had prepared for life in every way that he could, every kind of contingency that he could. But he had not prepared for eternity. He gave no thought to his eternal destiny. The man in the passage of Scripture He had financial security, it looked like, but he had no eternal security. And God said he was a fool. I don't want God saying that about my life. Jesus said it this way in another place, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Look at the contrast here. The man said, "Soul, you have ample goods for many years." And God said, "This night, your soul will be required of you." The scripture is very clear. Man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. We're going to die. Now, we think it's a tragedy when people die young or die in an accident or some other kind of thing. But I'm telling you, every one of us is going to face death. Every one of us is going to face death. And we can't stop that from coming, but we can be prepared. We can be prepared. We can prepare by trusting in Christ and by living for Him today. Materialism robs us of preparing for eternity. There's one more thing I want to point out from this passage of Scripture. Materialism robs us of making Jesus and His kingdom our chief desire. Now, Jesus turned to His disciples in verse 22, and He begins to speak to them. And He said, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor your body, what you will put on." He begins to talk to them and say to His followers, be careful, don't be anxious about your life and your stuff and your clothes and your food. You see, greediness and being anxious aren't the same thing, but they're very closely related. And Jesus said, life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. And He talks about the ravens. He says, look at the ravens. They don't sow nor reap, but God provides for them. They don't have storehouses, yet God feeds them. And He says, you're of much more value than the birds. And then he says, which of you, by being anxious, by being concerned, by being worried, by focusing on all that stuff, can add one single hour to his span of life? You know, there are studies that say it can take away your quality of life, but it's never added 1 minute, much less even an hour, to a person's life when he or she worried. Jesus tells them, seek first His kingdom. Don't be consumed by the world and its desires for things. The desire to be fed and clothed. Seek first the kingdom. And Jesus said the food and clothing and stuff of life will be provided. Now, do we believe this? Do we believe? Now, I don't think Jesus is saying don't work. In fact, there are other places in the scripture that says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. There's a verse in Timothy where Paul told Timothy, if a man does not provide for his family, he is worse than an infidel. He's not telling us that, but he's saying that should not be the driving force of your life. The driving motivation of your life should be to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That ought to be the driving motivation of our lives. And when we're not really buying into that, we need to say, Lord, help me to buy into that better. You ever known someone that was passionately motivated to know Christ and be His witness and extend His kingdom, but then slowly, almost imperceptibly, the driving force of his life becomes money and things and stuff and power and fame? We got to be careful. We can start loving, if we're not careful, we will love the world more than we love Jesus. Don't be anxious. God provides for the ravens. He'll provide for you. Don't be anxious about the clothes you wear. the grass of the field, the lilies of the field, the beauty of that is great. It's so beautiful. And they would take this grass and they would pull it and they would throw it in the furnace to burn to provide heat. He says if God gives that beauty to even the grass of the field, he will take care of his children. And he uses, it's verse 32 is a very interesting verse. Fear not, little flock. You see, the believers to the world might not be anything, but they are the flock, they're the little flock of God. And he says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now he says to us, seek the kingdom, but then he says the Father wants to gladly give it to you. You're seeking what God already wants to give to you. And he says if we seek first his kingdom and we invest in others in his name, he's going to provide for us. And we're going to have treasures that will not grow old and that will not fail. You know, at the end of life, everything you have accumulated, your kids are going to have to go through that junk and throw most of it away. I've been there. I mean, there wasn't hardly anything my parents had by the end of their life that was worth anything, and we just kind of got rid of it. A couple things are sentimental, but most of the stuff, just you get rid of it. What you invest in eternity goes with you. You invest in people, and you love others, and you build relationships, and you share the gospel. And that will go with you before you or after you. That's what really matters in life. Serving Jesus, loving him, and not the things of this life. Now, the Bible's not anti-things, but it is anti-being motivated by things. It doesn't want our motivation to get more and more and more and more stuff. Jesus wants us to be motivated because we love him and we want to see his kingdom and his glory go to the ends of the earth. Are you seeking Jesus and his kingdom today? Is your security in him? You know, I'll confess, I worry about money. I do. You know, sometimes the bank gets a little low for me. Now, truly, we're probably better off now. I mean, there were a lot of times when my kids were little. I mean, I had breakdown cars and the Visa got pulled out. I wasn't a real good steward in some ways. But now we're probably a lot better off than we were in some ways, but I still worry about it. And I know that it's wrong. I don't want to be preoccupied with worrying about stuff like that. I want to be preoccupied with loving Jesus and seeking for the advancement of his kingdom. And that's my prayer for myself and for you. That would be the chief motivation and preoccupations of our minds and our souls. Are you being robbed by life, of the life that God wants to have by seeking the security of the world? Is materialism robbing you of the joy of the now? Is it robbing you of the blessing of helping others? Has it robbed you of preparing for eternity? Security comes when we are rightly related to God, and then we have to draw back to him and focus on him and realizing that God's going to take care of us as his children. Yes, we ought to be good stewards. We ought to be good managers. But God will take care of his children. He wants to give us his kingdom. Father, we love you. And we pray that you'd help us to turn away from the stuff of this world. The iPads and the computers and the cars and the houses. And help us to love you as we should. And help us to look into the eyes of our neighbors and friends and children and grandchildren and those around us. And to see that they are more valuable than all the stuff of the world. And help us to love them the way that you have loved us. God, work in our lives that we truly might seek first the kingdom and your righteousness and know that everything else will be taken care of. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.